Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's me, Jesse. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, who've been here since time immemorial, gathering to share culture and stories and music and art and ideas and other things. Happy to be here with you this lovely Thursday morning in June. It's hot out there. The World Cup is happening. Summer is happening. Everything is happening. What a great time of year. We're almost at the longest one of the year. Goodness gracious. Well, thanks for hanging out with me this morning. Got a mix of talk and music, as is usual. A little heavier on the talk, as is tradition here. And just the start of a great day of programming here at CJSF. Thursdays are always great. We've got, well, of course, Speak Up to start with. And then we've got an afternoon featuring all sorts of good stuff. We've got Beats and Eats. We've got the latest from our School for Contemporary Arts intern, George Bastian, doing an open mic. We've got Free Voices. We've got Call Me Negotiator, The Art Show, Analog Archives, Wham Bam East Van, The 60-Minute Stage Dive, Rad Radio. Crazy. Great, great day. Hope you are locked in. Keep it here all day, and you'll hear all sorts of cool stuff, including a whole bunch of cool music. And as is tradition, we're going to start today's show with some great brand new local music. This is from a duo that I just discovered this last week called Reveal Yourself. They revealed themselves to me in that they existed. They just put out a cassette called Love Deluxe, and this is the track Bubble.
From the hairs on my chest.
Trouble by...
Yeah, okay.
Love Deluxe. From Love Deluxe by Reveal Yourself. Faked Me Out with a little bit of talking at the end of the track there. Hope you enjoyed that. Some cool punk-adjacent indie stuff. And now we're going to hear an interview done by Public Affairs and Talk Coordinator Nicole with Wiley Weijun Ho, who is an author and mother and community champion. Wiley will be speaking at Between Tongues and Pages, New Asian Canadian Writing, one of the events part of the Literasian Festival. This will be happening June 27th, so next Saturday, from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Chinese Cultural Center. So let's get into it.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here with Wiley Weijun Ho, an author, mother, and community champion. Her short stories and essays have been published in Prism International, Rice Paper Magazine, River Teeth, Room, and several anthologies. She is also a featured author at the 14th annual Literasian Festival and will appear on the panel Between Tongues and Pages, New Asian Canadian Writing. This panel brings together writers whose early manuscripts were recognized by the Jim Wong Chu Emerging Writers Award. So, oh my goodness, Wiley, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm fine. I'm pretty excited these days because I'm in the middle of a book promo for my first book, for my baby debut.
Yay! Okay, my gosh. Let's start with talking about your baby debut.
Okay.
Please. This is your first book titled "The Astronaut Children of Dunbar Street: A Memoir."
Yes. So it's a long time in the making. It is a memoir that it took me, I'm always a little embarrassed to say, but it took me 8 years to finish. Not full time, but from like start to publication. And I think that's because it's a story, I realize now looking back that it's actually a reclamation project. Oh. As in the astronaut children it's a book about separated families. So parents working overseas while their kids grow up, raising themselves in places like Canada, the US, Australia, and so on. In my family's case, both my parents returned to Taiwan to work during the 1980s, very, very steep recession. I think it was the worst recession since the World War II. Mm. And my father, who was a physician, but with Taiwanese credentials, could not practice here. Mm. And after a few years, it was just too hard to make a living. And so both my parents decided to return to Taiwan to work, okay, leaving me at age 12 to grow up with my four older siblings in Vancouver. And we were told not to talk about it to outsiders, i.e. anyone outside the family, because people would judge us. They would, we might get in trouble. And so there was this like secrecy. And I think that secrecy became a source of shame. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing took me a long time to write because growing up, I didn't really have language to describe the way we were growing up. The term astronaut family wasn't even coined until 1999. So there was just this feeling of, okay, mom and dad are overseas working really, really hard. And they tell us, that they're making all these sacrifices for us. And the book really is born from this silence and this inability to articulate or reconcile, mm-hmm, parents who are willing to do anything for you, right, except stay with you.
Right.
And so growing up, it was this like constant tension inside of like, am I privileged? You know, am I really lucky? Or am I actually really deprived and abandoned? And so, yeah, that's all a long way to just explain that it took so long because I recognized through the writing of it that it really was a reclamation project. And I tried it as comedy. I tried it as fiction. I tried it as even a mystery story at one point, a travel story. And then finally, it became the memoir it had to be because it's a reclamation project. And the only way you can reclaim something is to own it, right? And I think for me, that had to be nonfiction. But you spoke about the Jin Wang Chu Prize. And in 2020, I entered it because it's a prize for emerging writers, but in the fiction space. And I back then it was a novel. And so I submitted my manuscript in late 2020, and it became a finalist for that year's prize. And even though it has significantly changed, being a finalist for the Jin Wang Chu Emerging Prize was so validating and so affirming. And I think it really was the impetus for me to like keep going because there was something worthy there to tell. But it took another, I don't know, it took another long, another half a decade. But anyway, I would, yeah, maybe I should just say that I'm really grateful to the prize. And I also feel like it's a great thing for young, not even young, but emerging writers to consider. That if you do have a manuscript close to finished, to consider entering. And I think the prize window is currently open until the end of September this year.
Oh, look at life. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love that you just said that because one of the questions like I like to ask creatives is what has your relationship with this, I would say more new craft, even though you've been doing it for a while. This is your debut novel, right? So
Book, yeah.
what has it been like getting connected to the written word, like being a writer? Like, how has that journey been for you?
I sometimes say, I joke that I wish I were like a musician or or a painter. I think writing is really difficult, Nicole. But unfortunately, I'm not, gifted in any of the other arts, it seems. Because I feel like musicians have it really good. If they play something, it's practice, right? And then the notes just kind of vanish into the air. Paintings, well, usually you make something interesting to look at. But I feel like words, like until it becomes a manuscript or a book or something, it just feels like, I don't know, a jumble of things that you save, and it just doesn't. It can be terrible, and there's like evidence of all of these failed attempts. So all to say that maybe if I had a different outlet, I would have tried. But I would say I am very grateful, in all seriousness, to the power of words. I think it is really a way for us to recognize ourselves and to grapple with our experiences. And because I am a nonfiction writer at this point, creative nonfiction, which is what memoirs really are, I think it has really afforded me a chance to reflect on my life and think about all the ways that I couldn't articulate what was happening when I was a kid, all the confusion and all that isolation. And so I think being able to put it down into words and then revise and think about the different perspectives of my family members, especially my parents, whom I resented very much growing up. I thought, how could they abandon me? Like that was the central thought. But over the writing, over the course of writing this book, I think it's really afforded me a chance to think what it must have, how difficult it must have been for them.
Make that decision, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what writing affords us, is a chance to think more deeply and more into the different layers of reality, if you will.
Absolutely. And I have a question, like what is how has your family taken to this piece?
So my
Blanks,
parents have
blanks.
passed. And I wonder, they were very traditional, and I think they'd be both proud and mortified
At the same
by my
time.
writing about the family, right? Like, I think it's quite common that a lot of families don't want to air their dirty laundry.
Thanks.
But I hope that this book, if I've done a good enough job, it's not about airing dirty laundry. It's actually about showing this little disgust phenomenon of the astronaut family. There are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of us around the world, and yet, like, separated families, and yet, like, very few nonfiction works. There are a few novels about it. There are graphic memoirs, but there is none that I know of as a memoir, and none around the Taiwanese experience.
Right.
And that very much is an ongoing, unfortunately, an ongoing concern, where Taiwan is still a geopolitical flashpoint. And that was why my family came to Canada in the first place, to avoid a possible conflict with mainland China. And then, yeah, so I just feel like this book is not meant to, expose dirty family secrets. It's more a way, actually, it's almost a tribute and a love letter to what we lived. And that, even though it's not the most dramatic story, we're fortunate enough to live in nice neighborhoods and have enough money. We didn't have to worry about tuition for school, for example, which is a huge privilege. But on the other side, what was the cost of that privilege? So that's what I wanted to explore.
I love that. And I feel like for those listening, I think you've given enough to entice someone to want to really like understand that dynamic, right? Through written words. So I appreciate that. Now I'm moving over to the Litter Asian Festival. It is in its 14th year. You are a featured writer, author of the festival, and will also be a panelist that I had mentioned called Between Tongues and Pages, New Asian Canadian Writing. How does that make you feel? I'm just,
It's amazing. I've been volunteering for the festival for a long time. I have lost track of how many years. It's a wonderful festival,
Awesome.
and I'm just really, it feels a little surreal now to be on stage. But yeah, I love, it'll be a bit of a homecoming. It'll be fun. It'll be full of friends and people I really admire in the community. And yeah, with huge thanks to Alan Cho, Todd Wong, Effie Powell, like all the stalwarts in the community who really uplift other Asian Canadian voices. And yeah, I'm just really happy to be back as a featured author.
I know. Can you imagine? And I just want to let listeners know that I will include the link for this specific panel. It's going to be on June 27th from 4 to 5. It's going to be at the Chinese Cultural Center. And you will be also with sharing the stage with Jinwoo Park as well.
That's right.
So yeah, that is awesome. So I'll make sure that I include the link so that it's easy for people to pick up tickets and things of that
Thank
nature.
you. Yeah, I
So
think it'll be a really, really crackling conversations, because Jin Woo is and he actually, okay, here's some goss. So
oh, love
he
it.
won
Inside, bring it.
the year that I entered. He also entered, and he was the winner that year for Oxford Soju Club. And it's a great book, and I'm really glad it won. But I was like, oh, I was the first runner up, so I have words for him. Just kidding. It'll be very interesting, because he is writing into the new sort of new Asian Ken Lit space as well. How do we advance the conversations, and how do we move the narratives forward? And I just think it'll be really interesting.
So for someone who's listening who is interested in embarking on a creative writing journey, what advice would you offer?
I think everyone needs a community. Writing is a very solitary journey, and it's really ultimately up to you, your butt in the chair, and a pen and paper or a laptop. But Beyond getting the words down, I think we need people to chat with, to bounce ideas off of, and then when you feel like quitting, for them to tell you not to. I really believe in the power of community. I don't know that I would have published my book had I not been, because there's so many times I wanted to give up. It's hard. I will not say that writing is easy, but it is very rewarding if you stick with it. And if you have a community, it's just exciting. Like you get to see what other people are doing. That then, might motivate and inspire you. And you in turn, you don't know, you could motivate other people.
Absolutely.
So I think it's really great to be in community. And I think in the Lower Mainland, at least, we're really lucky to have groups and writing communities. Libraries start there that your local librarian will know.
Absolutely.
Different groups.
Love
That's what I
that.
would advise.
And now, what's next for you? I mean, I know that this is so new to you right now. Like, I mean, you book is out, and I know that there's a lot around that, but do you have any visions of like what's next?
Yes, well, I would. So I'm in the middle of this like book promotion, and so by the way, the book is doing really, really well. It's a
Hey.
it's enjoying its 11th week on the BC bestsellers list.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Congratulations.
thank you. So I've been doing the circuit, I guess. I'm appearing in various public libraries, and I've started doing school drop-ins.
Oh,
I
yeah.
not drop-ins, I should say, like school visits,
Visits, yeah.
class like visiting usually senior grades. And I know that there are a lot of astronaut kids out there who are perhaps growing up confused and lonely as I did. I know that I did one just last week, actually, where I can always tell an astronaut kid in the crowd. They're really attentive, but they're really like avoidant. They want to know, but they don't want to be singled out. Because that was the way I was, right? And I think there is still this stigma, this confusion. And so I would love to reach them. And maybe there'll be a follow-on book. I would love to have like an anthology of different voices from the community, because and I would also love to reach out to their parents, because I think more than anything, the parents don't get a voice. They're working, they're in the background, sometimes they're vilified, how could they leave their kids, all this kind of stuff. But I feel like they just don't get a chance to explain their side of things. So I'm hoping to do community outreach and maybe find a collective for this, for these stories. I think they need to be brought out.
I think so too. And what a great platform to be on radio to be able to voice that. So why don't I ask
So people can find me if they're
That's what I was
going
just
to
gonna
read
say.
my
How can
book.
we connect with
Yes, I would love
you?
that. Maybe in a year I'll have a bunch of stories that I can put together. But I would love for any readers or people who are interested in this type of story to reach out to me through my website, which is just wileyweichunho.com, my full name.com, or through Instagram at Ho, H-O, Wiley, Wiley, at Ho Wiley. And you can DM me. Yes, I've received lovely messages about the book and about just stories. And I love hearing other people's stories and how they connect with mine, because ultimately I believe we're all connected by stories.
We sure are. We sure are. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me today, Wiley. I'm going to ensure that I include all ways to connect with you as well in the show notes so that if people were like walking in the streets right now as they're listening to us and you weren't able to capture that, they can, check that out online for sure. I so appreciate it. And like, again, congratulations for being,
Oh.
involved in the 14th annual, especially coming from the volunteer aspect to being featured and a panelist. Thank
I'm
you.
sure I'll help with the chairs and stuff at the
Thank
end. I'm used to that. Anyway, thank you so much, Nicole, for having me. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Yo, it's Eboshi.
Hey, this is Eboshi from Cartel Madras, and you're listening to CJSF.
I was on the back of your mind. I was on the back of your lap. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do? Take things too far. Don't know where to start or begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say how I feel. Baby, is it real? I was like 34 double D's. You know what I like? Ice cold.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Bernie B. Tell me on the mic.
News update. Over the weekend, thousands of people came out to celebrate the 10th annual Pride Parade in Nanaimo. The parade, run by the Nanaimo Pride Society, featured community groups, local businesses, and elected officials. Over 70 different floats were in the parade that marched around the downtown area to Mafeo Sun Park, where the Pride Festival was taking place. It was a double anniversary for the Society, as along with celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Pride Parade, the Nanaimo Pride Society celebrated its 30th anniversary. Lauren Semple, current president of the Society, spoke to CHY ahead of the parade.
I got involved in 2015. It was Rick Myers, past president, who took over presidency at that time from the late and great John Lee, and he was the one who actually got me involved, good friend of mine.
Semple has been helping organize the parade since its start in 2016, but before the Nanaimo Pride Parade, Semple remembers attending their first Pride Parade in Vancouver only 3 years earlier.
I did not have an easy coming out experience, so I wasn't very connected into community. I didn't have a lot of, you know, what we call like bridges into these community spaces. And so for me, it was sort of my first Pride Parade was actually the Vancouver Pride Parade.
They say attending their first parade in Vancouver was a life-changing moment for them.
I was just in this process of sort of figuring out myself and my own identity and kind of my own queerness and where I fit and how that felt. And then to show up and, I mean, Vancouver Pride, it was just this massive parade and so many people and just being able to see community members living so authentically and so visibly as they're out and proud selves and just seeing all of these different identities and diversity within the community on display. It was absolutely incredible.
She says attending the Vancouver Pride Parade showed her the importance of Pride societies and Pride celebrations, inspiring her to join the Nanaimo Pride Society.
I hoped that if we could create an event that made community members feel even a fraction of what I felt going to Vancouver Pride in 2013, if I could